So the theme for our reflection today is the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ. And the text is taken from Matthew chapter 24, 42, and 44. Matthew 24, 42, and 44. It reads, "Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And the passage is Matthew 24, 36 to 44. "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one is taken and one is left. Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the householder had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you love us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world to save us. As we begin this season of commemoration of the coming of Jesus, we pray that you teach us, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, how to love you and serve you according to your will, until we meet Jesus face to face through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. So, I'm happy to be here again, and I'm thankful to God for bringing us together in this place of worship to join together in glorifying His name. This time of the year may be a very significant one in the life of many people. It may mean different things to different people. To some people, it may mean time for decorations, putting up lights, different kinds of lights, putting up trees, Christmas trees. To some, it may be a time of tremendous joy because of family reunion, following Thanksgiving, or approach of Christmas, when family and friends will gather together again. So it becomes a time of joy to see family members come for Thanksgiving or looking forward to people coming for Christmas. And to some, it may mean a time of intense pain, remembering family members or relatives or friends who passed away during the year, and we no longer celebrate Thanksgiving or Christmas with them. So it causes a lot of grief, thinking of Christmas with this person or Christmas with the other person, or Thanksgiving that used to be this way and will no longer be that way. So some people may be grieving. To some, it may mean a time of big sales, big buying and selling, Black Fridays, big businesses are making of lots of money. To some, it may be a time of hope for new jobs. Businesses will be thriving and be hiring people because of lots of money that flow in. So some people will be hopeful that maybe during this season, there will be job for them. But the question is, what does this time of the year mean for you? What does it mean for you? We spend the whole year and it's gradually coming to an end, another end of the year, with another year about to begin. What does this season of the year, after spending the whole year, what does this last period of the year mean for you? Thinking back all that have happened throughout the year. So we just finished celebrating Thanksgiving. As a result, we thank God for life given to us since this year, for health, and generally for his goodness and faithfulness to us and the world around us. There must always be something to thank God for, if you think back. No matter all the failures that have occurred during the year, no matter the sicknesses, no matter whatever may have happened or not happened during the year, there must always be something to thank God for. So you need to look back, count your blessings, if not for any other thing, for being alive today. It's a thing of great thanks. Most outstanding in our thankfulness is for the gift of Jesus Christ, whose coming we are celebrating at this time. We are celebrating the coming of Jesus. As a result, this season of the year means so much for the children of God. Two things. The coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus. Very, very important. The first coming, which we are looking forward to celebrating during the Christmas, that has brought us together. That is the first coming that brought us together. But beyond the first coming is another coming, the second coming, which he is inviting us to prepare for, which determines your eternal destiny. After having the opportunity of being in this life, to celebrate the first coming of Jesus, what have you gained out of it? And what will be the outcome at the end? Will the first coming of Jesus lead us into spending eternity with him? Or will we end up saying, oh, I missed the opportunity, had I known? It's very, very important. That's one of the most important things we need to be considering at this time of the year. Thinking of the first coming of Jesus and his second coming, which will happen anytime soon. So for this, Jesus says, in the place we have for our reflection today, watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. That's Matthew 24:42. And verse 44 says, therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That is the second coming. Must be ready. Watch therefore. because you do not know when he is coming. And the important thing is that we must be ready, so that even if he comes now, we will follow him. What does this imply? If you are not ready, you may miss it. If you are not watchful, you may have labored and end up not following him when he comes. That is why Jesus was warning, you must watch because you do not know when he's coming. And you must be ready. Readiness. So we are therefore thankful to God for giving us his son, Jesus, to save us. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. And during Jesus' first coming, the one that brought us together now, he lived exemplary life. That is where the readiness and watchfulness point to. Jesus lived exemplary life. The Bible says he lived a sinless life, life without spot, life without sin. In John chapter 19, verse 4, even Pilate, who was a Roman governor, not a religious person, who was judging Jesus, in John chapter 19, verse 4 says, it reads, Pilate came out again and said to them, behold, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him. Jesus had no guilt at all. Jesus lived in this life and was pure without guilt. Pilate couldn't find any guilt in him. In St. John's, 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins during his first coming. And in him, there is no sin. So Jesus lived a pure life in this world, showing that we can do the same. We can live pure life. St. Paul said, be imitators of me as I am imitator of Christ. In his sinlessness, do your best to live a pure life. Then, Jesus fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He preached the good news to all peoples. He suffered and finally gave everything he had, gave his life, you know, to bring salvation to us. When Elder Frank was praying, he prayed to God to give us generous hearts, to be generous with God's blessings to us. Jesus lived exemplary life with that, in generosity. Jesus gave everything he had, including his own life. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. And he did all manner of things, and at the end, gave us salvation. So after Jesus' ministry, he commanded us to continue this work he has already started. Jesus didn't do those works for them to end with him. He did them so that we can continue doing the same work until he comes again. So he expects us to be laboring in his vineyard. He expects us to be gathering in his name. He expects us to follow his examples. And how can you know the examples to follow if you don't read his word, or if we don't gather together? This will equip us to know how to watch. He said, watch, because you don't know the hour he will come. And we must be ready by equipping ourselves with his exemplary life. Things he came to show to us. So in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So this is part of what Jesus expects us to be doing. Before he left, he told us what to be doing until he comes again to the end of the age. We need to help to bring other people to him. We need to help to evangelize, to touch other people's life, to make them to be ready. We are told that heaven is so big. I don't want to be there alone. Everybody is supposed to be there. But not everybody will be there. Who will be left behind? God doesn't want anybody to perish. So we need to join in that work that Jesus came to do by inviting people to come back to their Creator. Also in John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." There's a reason why God brought us to himself. You didn't bring yourself. To sit in the church to worship God means that God invited you. And when God has invited you, he invited you for a reason. You are here for a reason. God has a task for you. God has something for you to accomplish in this life. We must be laboring in his vineyard until we see him again. So it's important for us to know that. So St. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." God gives to you so that you can give to others. God called you so that you can call others. Jesus finished his work on earth when he said in John chapter 19:30, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bows his head and gave up his ghost." He finished his task and left it for us to continue. So how are you doing that? He handed evangelization of the world to me and you. Today, what are you doing with the opportunity God gave you in this life? What have you done so far about the command Jesus gave us to evangelize? What have you done about it? In Romans chapter 13, 11 to 14, Paul made an urgent appeal. He said, "Besides this, you know what hour it is, how it is full time now for you to wake from sleep, if you have not been working or laboring in God's vineyard." Paul says, wake from sleep. "For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." And then he went on to say in verse 12 of Romans chapter 13, "The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling, and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify his desires. For us to continue the work that Jesus left for us, we must live our lives like Jesus. We must follow his examples. In other words, St. Paul is saying that the night is far gone and the day is at hand, night and day. Let us cast off the works of darkness that go with night and put on the armor of light that go with day. Jesus belongs to the light. He is the light of the world. We need to put off things of darkness. And here it describes things of darkness. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not as in the night. Those works of darkness, like reveling, drunkenness, debauchery, licentiousness, quarreling, jealousy, these are the works of darkness. We must put them away, keep them very far away from us, and then put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify flesh desire. The Bible went further to touch on the works of darkness and the works of light. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9, it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of this, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. So, to represent Jesus, we must put to death things that were not seen in Jesus. And then, regarding light, St. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 36 to 35 to 36, it says, then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just as little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the darkness does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. Jesus is the light of the world. And Matthew goes on to say, you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world because we follow Jesus. So we are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is what Jesus is calling us to during this season we're entering. Let your light shine before people. Let people see Jesus in you. Let them see why they need to live the kind of life they were living before and move over to living, being a Christian or being a follower of Jesus. Philippians 2:4-16 say, do everything without complaining and arguing, that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, that's what Jesus was warning us. You must be watchful. You must be ready. So when you are in the light, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud and that I did not run the race in vain and that my works was not useless. Paul said, far be it from me that I should run labor in this life and eventually be a cast out. Our labors in this life should not be in vain. So we must run the race, being in the light, shining the light to the world around us, so that eventually Jesus will be proud to welcome us and say, and we say, you did well. In spite of the darkness in the world, you still stood your ground and succeeded. Well done, my child. That's what we'll be expecting. That's what this time reminds us. Run your race well. Jesus therefore says in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is not telling us to do what we cannot do. His yoke is light. His burden is light. So, Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory, having done all these things. If Jesus comes today, how will you feel? Will you say, I did my work? I did everything he told me to do. I worked hard in this life. I was generous with God's blessings on me. I was generous to the world, to his church, with everything that God blessed me with. Can you say that? I spent my time for him. I spoke to people about him. I supported his work. I did everything he expected me to do. If Jesus comes today, will you say that? So finally, we must look forward to the future coming of Christ with eagerness for his glorious reign of life, joy, love, peace, and righteousness for eternity. We must watch and be ready, because our Lord Jesus Christ will come at a time unknown to us. As you watch, are you ready for his coming? If not, one thing is required. Repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Surrender completely to him. Tell him to take over your life. Tell him to lead you on the path of righteousness. Tell him to lead you on that path that will enable him to rejoice over you when he comes again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we return thanks and praise to you